Now, that was a foundation of Kenneth Hagin. That is, this man, I was on campus, as I read my first Kenneth Hagin book in 1986, Five Hindrances to Growth in Grace. That was the first time I took the scriptures, I saw a book that was talking to me. If you are listening to me today, the foundation for what I know was built upon what Kenneth Hagin taught. Bishop Oyedepo will tell you when he used to carry Kenneth Hagin books around selling, not because he wanted to make money, but because he wanted Christians to know. He testifies that for his ministry to move forward to another, that he used to go for camp meeting. He will tell you a supernatural experience he had once when Kenneth Hagin was ministering. Do you understand? This is a man who blessed this generation. That's what I'm trying to explain. Many people that are doing great things today, this man, and he never met them, went only to two other countries in his whole life, apart from the country he grew up and died in, the United States of America. I think went to Canada and South Africa. I didn't used to go to places. So we're looking for international ministry. Listen, I thank God we in Kingdom World, we already have international ministry. Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, a lot of our meals we get are from, West African countries, East African countries, and South African countries. I told a pastor in Ghana said it. I can remember. He said, he doesn't bother to think again. Anything I say on Saturday, he crams it. Goes to church on Sunday, falls it out. Kenneth Hagin was like, I like that anointing. He didn't go anywhere. Hardly went to places. Now, why am I telling his story? Because those early days when everybody was, ministry was moving. Big boys were being big boys. There were a lot of big boys all over the place. Then the reigning thing in America was have a tent. You go from one place to the other, you have a big tent. In Nigeria, the reigning thing is have a big church. But in America, that time, the reigning thing was have a big tent. He said everywhere he went, he said, I mean every time, somebody will say to him that the Lord wants you to get a tent. He said, what they don't know is that the Lord has told him simply, stay in the churches. And when he says churches, he'll go to a church, there are 100. He goes to a church, there are 50. If it's big, there are 200. Listen, he had to learn to pray special anointed prayer to get money. God, that he was a personal fight between him and the devil for his money. Devil, you won't take my money this week. This week I collect $200 of the money you are holding. And he will count the money. It's normally like $202, $206. Sometimes things his whole plan will just spoil. 1 week to Christmas, no money. So one day he and his wife went somewhere to go and preach. When the Lord got into the house, he was waiting for the wife to come out. The wife didn't come out. He got in. The wife was crying. Why was his wife crying? She brought her clothes to wear, and there was none. The only one piece of, one gown that was not so fine. She wanted to now go out and eat, go out with people who had fine clothes. So the young lady sat down and started crying. And this girl was a soft babe, very soft. Her father was well-to-do in their own levels, and she was the last born, and the man took good care of her. And now married this guy. Now marry this guy. You understand what I'm saying? And he had to comfort her. Explain to her, she don't worry, that God is blessing them. They are growing up. Amen. Ah, that kind of ministry is tough. Not the preaching, the talking to your wife under such circumstances, what I'm talking about. But that's the kind of experience a man had. I first told you what his life became for you to know what he endured in the early days. That was what he endured. Because the Lord said, stay in those churches. He used to go from one church to another. He didn't have the Lord had led him, he had stopped pastoring churches. He was going from one place to another, one place to another. This was what he did for nothing less than 20 years before he finally started Rema Bible Training Center. And that was where the ministry began to grow. He refused to pastor a church after that time. He was not careful about his own personal comfort. He was just concerned about fulfilling the call, all right, of the person who owned him. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. the man how to learn how to abase in that area. Do you understand? That's what I'm trying to emphasize, that people learn to abase. So sometimes one thing that the Lord helped me with, I said, anywhere. Yenka knows the rules. If we have to pay our bills, we will. I will pay myself. And I'm not angry. Nobody said I vex you. I am not angry. The one that, if you want to invite me, I want to annoy me. Let me tell you how to annoy me now, if you are hearing it. Invite me from a far place. I sit down there. You make me watch your children sing, your adults sing, drama presentation, announcement for 30 minutes, worship for 1 hour. I'll be your church for 3 hours. In that time, 35 minutes to preach. I will beat you. They've done it to me before. They go to say, when is your service starting? Say, okay, service is 9 o'clock. So me, I leave everything I'm doing. I get there at 9 o'clock. They say, we have a special number. Sister Angel and crew, they have a special song to sing for us. That's some small girls that appear. Praise the Lord. I just want to be... I'll be looking at them like this. No, wahala. When they finish, another presentation will start. Amen. We have a short drama. 30 minutes. It's a short drama. Nothing happened. There's day I went to one church to preach. I said to sleep. Just when I will put you high up. You understand my point? I'm just there. After a while, normally, I like to respect. You know, I put off your phone. You know that one? I said, Lord, you can see me. I'm not disobeying today. Nobody's preaching. They were playing. They will have debates. So, brother XYZ, what do you have to say about the current appointment of the head of state? After I put on my phone, put it on vibrate, I started chatting with my friend in America on WhatsApp. I said, Chooks, I bet you don't wake up. Oh boy, I did church for here. Then they do drama. Try not to get angry. I was just trying not to get angry. After a long time, I said, we have a guest minister today. I said, oh, you finally noticed me, eh? The Lord is good. That is the only thing that upsets me when I'm invited to go and preach. You make me endure all the jamboree of the church and now give me 40 minutes to talk. My own, why did you invite me? Should have just left me in my house. But the people that are, they are sweet to my soul. When they say, sir, you preach Friday morning, Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Do you want to preach on Monday? And I get there, I now see people, young or old, I don't care, with they are there learning. Do you understand? If you put us in a hut, I don't care. I don't care. That one, it doesn't upset me. What upsets me that you make me travel and I don't have time to talk. So now, in fact, like God knows, most people who invite us now want to just say, we have a special program. If I once I see the faces of 3 ministers in that program, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Not out of pride, though. Like, you are doing a 2-day program with 5 preachers. When are we going to talk? One day, some boys invited us to Nsukka. They wanted to impress. Like, I remember. They wanted to impress us. Say, Fela Droto is coming. This person is coming. Then, by the time they finished, they showed the poster, 6 faces. I said, like, I tell them I am not coming. And I said, okay, sorry, sir. The other people are not preaching. They are just our church elders. We have by law, we must put them there. I said, but for that reason, no. He said he's not coming again. In fact, did he come with me? Uh-huh. Because I told him, look, I can't drive from here to there. You give me 30 minutes, you are playing. I'm not part of it. I don't have time for me to join the drama. I have nothing against Father Drojo. No. It's not that. It's just that. Give him time. Give me time. You can't give 6 people time to talk in a 2-day program. What are you going to say? That's just my own principle. You give me enough time to preach, and I have people want to hear, I don't ask for any other thing. Because I've learned to abound. I've learned to what? Abase. Now, I want all of these things, just trying to explain something. I know where I started, though. I'm going to go, you know. We'll just continue talking, man. Amen. I know what I was saying. I was just explaining that I could have refused. I could have been distracted. Something else may have taken me away. Do you understand my point? It would be wrong for me to think God will have found somebody else to do it. Anytime I hear such testimonies, let me just tell you, I get more committed. It doesn't give me the impression that the one I have done so far is good. I suddenly become scared that maybe it could have been better if I had done better. Do you understand? If I had committed some more. So I try to take one more step to see the fruit it will produce. A brother sent me a message today. He says, "Sir, I was thinking about it. You've not gone to Kwara. You've not gone to Taraba." He said, "Are you thinking about those areas? Or is it money that's the problem?" I replied him, I said, "No, it's not primarily money. Of course, it will cost more money to go to all those areas, radio stations." I said, "I think we are covering part of Kwara already." I said, "I never thought of Taraba." I said, "But the primary thing is not money. It's for us to identify the door. Then we'll open it and walk through it." Now, something that came to my mind that, are you sure the reason why you are not identifying the door is that you are not looking? I don't know whether you are getting my point. Maybe you are distracted. And don't assume. And that's one thing. You know, this day when you tell me God spoke to me, before, I was not very impressed. Now I'm even less impressed. Do you know why? Because what you could tell me is that I was able to hear God say this. Are you getting my point? When you say God spoke to me, it's as if that's all he said. No, that was what you were able to hear. He could have said more. You're too deaf. So just tell me that this is what I want to do. Why? I feel led in my spirit. Because my reason is that when you tell me God said, it's as if that's all he said. But now I know it's not like that. That was what you were able to hear. This is it. Now, that's what the Bible talks. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what Paul meant to. Don't ever raise your shoulder that say, me, I have tried though. You haven't tried though. This was the only one you allowed him to do. This is a work of grace. Grace is the manifestation of the thing we allow the Lord to do. Many of our stubbornness is like in life is why, and this is not about preachers alone. Let me just quickly tell you. If you're a businessman, the same thing. Okay, oh. You think it's only preachers? Businessman, the same thing, though. Sometimes your business is that at that level. Simply because the Lord is not able. That is, let me be like this. God, the Lord has not yet been able to get across to you what he wants you to do next. Maybe because you are too comfortable. What you are doing right now pays all the bills. And they've taught you that what's a Christian doing with money. And you have not yet learned what I call the ministry of wealth. That if a Christian only earns enough for himself and his family and give a few offerings in church on Sunday, the gospel will not go far. Paying for airtime on television and radio is not cheap. It's not cheap at all. If you are not rich, where would the offering come from? I hope you are getting my point. Getting jobs, it is good, all right? It's a beautiful thing for human beings to be able to wake up in the morning, go to a place, work, give their services, put effort in, and get paid in return. Those systems in which that can get done must be created by a human being. So if in your shop you have only 2 sales girls working for you, there are 10 that need work you have not been able to provide for. You owe those 10 growth. You owe those 10 growth. You are going to grow not because of you. You have to grow because of them. Like that brother that wrote me, he was saying that there are people in Kwara State, in Taraba State, that are not hearing you. What are we going to do about it? I hope you're getting my point. One brother the other day said, "Listen, sir, you need to be in Port Harcourt. That my friends and I are trying to put things together." Why? Because he said, "What you are saying, we need it to be told to people in Port Harcourt." In business, it's like that also. Business is not, the mistake people make is that it's just about providing for you. No, it's about providing for other people. I am not a Muslim. I've never met Dangote. I don't know what he does in his spare time. But one reason why I keep on referring to him, all right, is that people say that what more is they still want to acquire more after everything they have had. I say, may God not let you talk foolishly in Jesus' name. Because those who know will be shaking their head. You can't even preach to them because they know you don't know anything. If a man spends his $16 billion, he's been able to, the $16 billion he's been able to syndicate to start that refinery. They said that refinery is supposed to be so big, Nigeria alone cannot consume everything it's producing. He will have to export it. In case you do not know, until this current president came into office, 1/3 of all the forests we were using was being spent on importation of fuel. 1/3. If Nigeria spent $1 billion in forex, $300 million and above was spent paying for refined products. The man that will end that, I will personally pray for him. Sometimes even we as believers, that's the issue. God has not been able to say a new thing to us. Not because he doesn't want to talk. No, that's not the reason. It is because he has spoken, but certain things inside us has restricted us. We can't hear him. You know, I say all of this by trying to emphasize to us again. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, don't assume somebody else will easily do it. No, don't just assume it. That is what I've been trying to emphasize so far. Let me now get into the message I wanted to preach today. That was supposed to be a revision, a reminder. No, that's not a joke. I really meant it like that. The Lord is good. Now, now we read two portions of the scriptures, and I want to explain something. We have been reading that Haggai chapter 2 again and again. Why went all of this to let us know that's why God had to kick these people, all right, in their behinds. Get up. How did he do it? By the afflictions that came upon them. How did he do it? By the troubles that they were experiencing. And I want to say to us again, this world will continue to have troubles in cycles so as to kick the people of God out of their own comfort zones. Now, when it comes to advance the kingdom of God, I want to explain a principle which I've been trying to get to for some time. I just said today, I must get there. This world is not our home. Somebody give me amen.
Amen.
You know that shirt you are wearing, whatever it is that you have on your body there, is not primarily to show us how rich you are. I hope you know that. Not primarily to show how handsome you are. No. The primary reason is to cover you. The primary reason, all right, is to make you look presentable to people because it's important. All right, somebody wants to preach to you and he's wearing torn clothes, dirty clothes, that kind of torn, literally torn. He hasn't had a bath in days. He has dreadlocks. You know what do? You cross the road because you say this guy is not totally together. So it is important that when you approach people, you look like what you are trying to present. I hope you are getting my point. Yeah, that's how it is. You look like what you are trying to present. Let me just drop that again. What is a code for dressing? In life, this is a summary. When somebody sees me, what impression do I create? Do you get my point? That's just a summary. Once I show up, what impression do I create? And Archbishop Idahosa used to say, dress the way you want to be addressed. So that's just by the way. So you see, everything in life, all right, makes a statement, is used for a particular purpose. That is what Christianity is. We understand that. Let's take material things as an example. God has told us what material things are used for. And he said clearly, we must never lay them up. He said, it is not a sign of your success in life. It is not a sign of anything about you personally. That is like, I have a lot of money. God said it doesn't mean anything. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. His life. All right? Very important. Now, why am I saying all of these things again? If you see the scripture I've been reading again and again, God told the people of Israel, there was a time I shook the heavens and I shook the earth and I brought prosperity to this place. But you guys made a mistake. Instead of you building my house, you built your own panel houses. You built beautiful things for yourself. You did not focus on the real purpose for which I gave you something. One of the scriptures I like is from Psalm 90. David said, it was a song of Moses actually. Moses said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, I want to apply that one. I'm not saying exactly that's how Moses intended it, but it's an application to it. And that is that you have to learn, it is wisdom, to be able to identify why God gave you something. It's wisdom. You know, in life, I'm a blessed man. I'm thoroughly blessed, all right? I'm blessed. And when I refer to it, it's not material things I'm referring to. I'm talking about people. You know, I have people around me that just do me, you know, they just bless me tremendously. You get my point? I don't take it lightly at all. And sometimes I ask myself, I say, Banky, why do you think that is? Some think it's a sign that they are important. Some think it's a sign that they have sown a lot of seeds. Now it's their time to settle down and be harvesting and rejoicing. But I don't see it like that. I see it as God says, let me spare you these troubles so that the reason why I gave you life, you can do it better. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's why the other time my car, I needed to get to a mechanic, you know, fix some things. Suddenly I just said, my wife traveled. I needed to help get her car done before she would come back. First day passed, second day passed. My own car had issues and all of that. I suddenly said, wait. Is there no one guy called Udechukwu there? I just picked my phone. Ude, this car needs to see mechanic. He said, yes, sir. So I left the keys. One by one, he came. You understand? At the end of the day, all the cars were fixed thanks to Udechukwu. This is why I can now relax and cross my lines. Say, now I'm a big man. I'm sure somebody else. No. Now, at least, the magazine that the next one can come out quicker because I have more time. I hope you are getting my point. That's it. That is the idea. It has nothing to do whether I'm a big man or not. It is the bank. You see, I'm cutting off all these encumbrances so that I expect you to write another book. That one is out already. And which is what I plan to be doing now. One small one every month, drop another one. I mean, after all, Jechuka has taken your car to the mechanic. Do you are getting my point? Yes. I mean, drove to Port Harcourt to go and preach. I didn't drive. Like I drove. I sat down and relaxed, crossed my leg. I just go and preach. Do you understand my point? That ceased. There was a time when I mean go drive. There was a time. I would drive from here to Osuka. Now me go still preach. When I finish, I will drive back to Enugu. Old things are passed away. Amen?
Amen.
So what God said, now that those days have passed, do you understand? What productivity am I seeing from it? Is it that you are getting fatter and getting rosier? You can now disappear and go to Dubai and be calling them from there. Say, did the apostle call me to preach a good message? Are you getting my point? Now that kind of make God injure person. Don't be going one morning. Next thing, say, what happened? Pastor's head is not straight again. No, why? Because when I shook the heavens, are you getting my point? And I brought prosperity in. What happened? Each man ran to his own panel house. They did not understand the reason why I gave them wealth. They didn't understand the reason why I gave them prosperity. So God said, you know what I do? And now blow upon their prosperity. They thought they knew how to plant. So they planted. They looked for much. It came to little. Why? I withheld the rain. I wasn't angry with them. I was just telling them, you have to understand what I am doing. You have to understand what I'm doing. I want you to spend this thing I'm sending to you to build my temple, which is a sign for us. The Bible says these things were recorded for our learning. They were recorded for our learning. So we now said to them, now that you have learned the lesson, once again, I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. Now, what am I bringing forth from here? You know, last time I began to say it, that Christians generally these days, they have not been taught enough in committing themselves to the pursuit of the kingdom of God. One of the reasons is that, one of the features that we have seen is that some who are committed, they've been taught wrongly. Do you get my point? So, we pastors are the problem there. We Christians think the more they serve us and serve our assembly and the denomination, the more they are committed, do you understand, to the kingdom. And what I'm teaching today is that it's not necessarily so. There is a part of it that may involve that. But that is not the main thing that God is doing. What God wants us to do, and I listen to this, is the kingdom of God he wants us to preach. It is to go out there and make disciples of people, not church members. What are disciples? They are people who see Jesus as the focus of everything, and they are learning his word, learning his ways, with the hope of being totally conformed to his image. That's what he said. That's a disciple. A disciple is not primarily a committed church member. I want you to understand that. You know, I said something earlier. Now, I'm not saying disciples will not be committed. I hope you get my point. I'm not saying disciples will not be committed church members. But what makes them disciples is not the commitment to church membership. What makes somebody a disciple is that every day that passes, every week that passes, the life of Christ is being more and more manifested in that person. That is what a disciple is. And what is the advancement of the kingdom? Is that we turn as many as possible of human beings into disciples of Christ Jesus. Not just those who gave their life to Christ and altar call, but they become truly disciples indeed. Now, what am I trying to say? That is the primary assignment we all have as Christians. And God is saying to us, that is why I send you resources. That is why. It's not just, oh God, I hope people understand. Let me get practical a bit. You know, let me use our country as an example. When our president, when President Obasanjo came into office, I know Abacha, who died shortly before he became president, sold fuel at $22 a barrel. There was a time it was as low as 17. Okay? I know that when God wanted to turn the captivity of our nation in a particular area, he took away the head of state then, General Abacha, and then General Absalami came in, and he sat down nicely and called many people, and they discussed and they plotted a transition program that lasted less than a year. And then he was out of office, and President Obasanjo came in. And first thing Obasanjo did was to review civil servant salaries, if you remember that. Yeah, he did that. Then, after some time, the Lord began to prosper the nation by bringing forth a lot of, that's increasing the price of crude. Now, little by little, we don't realize it. This country began to prosper. Forget your own personal problems. I'm talking about collective. Many people, their own personal issues, they now think that it's everybody's problem. No. Last time I went to Akure, I'm from Ondo State by birth, you know. One of our senior brothers died in the faith, so we went for the burial. So being a native of Ondo State, everybody assumed that I would know my way. And even me, I was deceived into thinking I would know my way around. I remember last time we came from Ondo last year, we passed through Akure instead of coming back through Ore. We passed through Akure because I wanted to pick my mom. You remember we got missing? We had to stop inside Akure. I couldn't recognize the place again. I actually lived, well, off and on there a bit. Never really lived there, but I used to visit there. When I was a youth cop, I used to come because my friend was serving there. One of my friends had a private clinic there. So we used to go there a lot. We used to stay there a lot. And I knew the place in my home state. You know that kind of thing? When I go back there, I couldn't recognize anywhere. Every road was dualized things. The other side of the express, I got totally confused. You know, a few years after President Obasanjo came into office, civil servants began to buy cars. Who bought them before? They started buying cars. If there was a time Opel Omega didn't let us walk in any way, can I remember? Now I'm going somewhere. Then after a while, it became normal. Every middle-level civil servant or businessman who's doing well, where's your wife and children? Okay, they went to spend this week's holiday in Dubai. These were things I didn't hear of when I was in university. The days of SAP. If you can spend the holiday inside your house, won't you even thank God that it has a roof? Are you getting my point? Now it became normal. There are so many strikes in Nigeria. Where's your sons? They are going to school. First, we started from Ghana. And Ghanaians built a lot of schools to collect our money. We became wise. We ran. Then every time I sit down, talk to a lot of my colleagues, their children are in UK, they're in US, somewhere in Europe or US. Next thing you realize, this is what happens. I'm going somewhere. We learn to abound. I hope you're getting my point. We all learn to enjoy life very well. God prospered us, enjoying life was okay, but then we have not gotten committed to enjoying life so much that the work of God actually went into ruin. Pastors who are desperate for money started preaching tithing, which is a very, very bad thing to preach when you're trying to get money. You know why? The money will never be enough. When it wasn't enough, we started preaching first fruit. That one is the biggest of the frauds. It's pulpit robbery. If we talk long enough, they will soon add value added tithe. Another one came, redemption of firstborn. Worst crime. What did I not see? You redeem your firstborn with what? We are so money-minded, we couldn't even tell the simple truth again. That the Old Testament we are quoting, the redemption was with blood. And that blood now, we know is the blood of Jesus. Why did we turn it to money? I'll tell you, we want more money. He that loves money, the Bible says, we never have enough of it. We invent. What kind of invention haven't I seen? We created all kinds of schemes because we never have enough. And I'll tell you the reason why we never have enough. We never taught the truth. We did not appeal to the grace, he had placed in the hearts of the people. We started with legalism. Legalism never solves the problem. I've heard preachers say that if everybody in church tithed, will have enough money. It's a lie. You know the reason? It's spiritual. The reason is spiritual. Because if God wants to do something, you have to do it His way. Let me quickly explain something to you. If everybody tithed, one thing you will do is that you will kill a particular ministry. It's called the giving ministry. You will. What do I call the giving ministry? I'll give it to you simply. Giving ministry are those who will wake up in the morning and all they are thinking of is, how do I pay for this thing? And it's not their business. They come, I've seen people like that. As soon as they come to places like this, they say, these lights are on. How much is NEPA bill? Everybody is enjoying themselves. He said, the ACs are on. How much is power costing? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. That's a giving ministry. Listen. Let me say something to you you don't realize. I don't know about last year, but about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Bill Gates was paid $4 billion in 1 year in dividends. Did you hear what I said? Last year, 2 years ago, Warren Buffett, we calculated the demand made about, is this $15 billion in 1 year? Warren Buffett. Let me ask you a simple question. Why has the Lord, therefore, not seen it fit to give us 2 Warren Buffett and 2 Bill Gates to solve all this problem we're always running after? Is it because he's not able? Is his hand too short that he cannot deliver? Is the gold no longer his own? Is the earth no longer the Lord's and the fullness thereof? The cattle on 1,000 hills, are they no longer his own? Has it crossed your mind that why is it that he didn't do much of these things? This is what I'm going to explain. The major reason is that we have not allowed him. We have not taught Christians enough from the time they are young to walk with God and do their ministry. I don't know whether you get my point. We latch on to them when they are young. Pay your tithe, give your first fruit. Sometimes we collect his first fruit, which is actually his investment. Then the guy is, and listen, forget all of this. He's poor, his pastor is poor, everybody is now poor. Because they are building the church bigger than their size. So everybody, you will sell your house and give to God. God is not a church. Don't be an idiot. He's not a church. At the end of the day, some people have sold seed, so they are confused. They don't even know, they don't have direction again. They say, give a special seed, your business will turn around. Yes, he turned around. They said that he turned around into the ground. After all, he borrowed money to give that special seed. Now he has to pay back. You know the problem? He was not properly tutored. That's what I'm going to. We didn't teach Christians well because we had some sharp, sharp ways to collect money from them. Preachers, listen to me. If you taught Christians well, and you teach them the truth, So that they will not pay off God with 10% and blow the balance traveling all over the world, chasing things that we never find. See, one of the things that God withholds from people is satisfaction. If he withholds it from you, you will go to Cape Town, you will not be happy. When you have finished seeing Cape Town, and I say that, I heard of safari in Kenya, you will go there, you will not be happy. The same animals that you find behind your house, you will see there, you will come back. You say, okay, I've never gone for skiing in Switzerland. The money that God gave you for a different purpose, and listen, forget this nonsense of sending your children all over the world. Let me tell you something quickly. If they are still young, this is my personal conviction. You need to see me. Let us argue over it. I don't believe you should send. This is, see, there's one I'm going to give you, and you must never disagree with it. Don't come and discuss with me. Just don't disagree. All right? If the children have not yet left secondary school, they're not leaving this country. Let's start with that one. You have no business sending children to go and do secondary school abroad where you don't live there. Don't ever do that one. Don't call me. Don't talk to me. Don't argue. The one I'm going to disagree with you, we can discuss, is whether they should go and do first degree abroad. Personally, I say no. I know what's going on in Nigeria of today. I say no. You can disagree with that. There is no war in Nigeria. This is not Syria. I hope you get my point. You must know this is not Libya. We are not in South Sudan. Why do you behave as if you are in Libya? Are you in Syria? You are running when nobody is pursuing you. You must be a sinner. Forget this nonsense that I want to go and give birth to my children in America, and have an American visa. It can be as much a disadvantage as it is an advantage. And you that's paying the money to send the person to your wife there, where did they give birth to you? Your father gave birth to Nubu Jobu. Is it your mother that gave birth to you? I don't even know again. Yeah, God prospered you so much, you can get up in the morning and share money out to send a pregnant woman to go to strange places to go and get visas in place where God may run away from tomorrow. Yeah, tell the same people, bring me 5 million naira. We need to advance the gospel. Once they are paid, they are tight. They are free. Go and listen to my series, How to Bless Your Children. What your children need is a word of blessing. Isaac said, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. Didn't give him a dime. Send your children all over the world to gather all kinds of degrees. The man who puts a hand on his son and his daughter and says, your brothers will serve you, your children will work for that guy. You pay them well, and you'll be happy. Thank God I sent my son for BSc in Harvard and an MBA in Princeton. Right now, thank God, he's earning well, 2 million naira a month is his salary. You're excited. You won't remember that the guy who's paying it to him did not get a BSc from Harvard. He didn't get a MSc from anywhere. He got a blessing from his father who was godly, who put a hand on him and said, you will be great. Listen, I'll tell you the one reason why gospel lacks money. Pastors are afraid. They don't teach the truth. They want to put judgment and condemnation on people. I hear things like, if you don't pay your tithes, you go to hellfire. It's a lie. I don't care who says it. Jesus didn't say it. If it was enough to send it to hellfire, Paul would have told us. Peter would have said it. Jesus even said, even under the law, it was a lesser matter. He said there were weightier matters of the law. How can Jesus say something is weightier if sending you to hell for not tithing was available? How can he downplay? He said you have neglected weightier matters of the law. And now people say that if you don't pay your tithe, you are going to hellfire. Listen to me. It's not scripture. The truth is this. Listen to me. When God raises you up and you use the resources very well, he will get you to a point in a year they will pay you $4 billion in dividends and nobody will even know. One of the reasons why God said, listen, if I make a Christian who they have taught to tithe, to give one church $400 million, pastor go crazy, choir member go mad. Do you understand my point? Everybody will just scatter. God said, in the interest of peace, please, leave them, leave them. Let me give the money to unbelievers who will be chasing schistosomiasis and leishmaniasis, which is what Bill Gates is chasing, malaria, HIV. Listen, I'm going to explain something. The major problem is that Christians don't yet understand what it means to pursue the kingdom. When God prospered us, what did we do? We began to run after our own parent houses. So God said, blow upon it. Let them so much come to little. Because of Nigeria, the cost of oil began to nosedive. Now all those who put, the dollar inside were going crazy. But hear the word of the Lord. He said, once again, I will shake the heavens. Amen. Once again, I will shake the earth.
Amen.
I will cause prosperity to come to this place.
Amen.
And you know what he's saying? Get ready to know how to use it.
Amen.
Listen, God, the way he does that, when he prospers us, we wouldn't care whether we are broke or we are rich. Are you getting my point? It gets to a point in life where you won't care whether you're on a bike or you're in a Bentley. Then God says, that guy is ready. That girl, she's ready. Let me let you go home. I'll pick you up if I can from this particular point next time. Just say, Father, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Just thank you for one thing. Say, thank you for truth rising in my heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I pray for you that goodness and mercy will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I like to say all the time, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you have been set free in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You have been set free in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You have been set free in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You have been set free in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please, I want to read something to you quickly. The other day when Israel and I and Pastor Okemuto were preaching for radio, I read the scripture in the New Living Translation, and it is so beautiful I have to read it for every child of God that is here. You know it already, but I just want it in the New Living Translation. Numbers chapter 23, verse 23. I want you to understand that this is your portion. Balaam said it like this, no curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel.
Amen.
Did you see that? No one said there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination. You know, let me give it to you, really. This is your portion in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
No curse can touch you.
Amen.
And no magic has any power against you.
Amen.
Because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who are here, you know what I'm about to say. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
Upon your head.
Amen.
Upon your businesses.
Amen.
Upon your mouth.
Amen.
In your families.
Amen.
Holy Ghost.
Fire.
Thank you. You are the one that needs it, not your enemy. When the Holy Ghost fire comes upon you, you speak the word of God with boldness. You mount a testimony for Christ Jesus. And by that, you become an overcomer.
Yes.
Let's go over it again. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
Now, not only you, upon me.
Amen.
I will preach the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
You will speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
You will preach the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
You will maintain your testimony with boldness.
Amen.
You will overcome sin with conviction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't need the blood of Jesus on the road. When you travel, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
You need the blood of Jesus upon your heart. If you are here, you have not given your life to Christ, that's what you need. For that blood to cleanse you of every iniquity. For those of you who have given your life to Christ, you are cleansed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, he has nothing in me. Do you know why? Because he was clean. The devil may come, but he will have nothing in you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because upon your life, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Say amen loudly.
Amen.
Upon you, every part of you, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Put up your hand, please. Anywhere that is aching you, by the power of that blood, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, that's the blood of Jesus. I plead it upon that place that is ailing you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In all that you do, put out your hand like this. Anything you put that hand to will prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you use that hand to sell bread, that bread will sell.
Amen.
If you use it to repair cars, that car will not spoil.
Amen.
Anything you put that hand to do will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're a preacher and you handle your Bible with those hands, revelation will jump out from it for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will succeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because Christ Jesus has already made you a success.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We are passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.